right, baby.
Good morning. You're listening to KUAC. I'm Lori Neufeld with special coverage from the start of the 32nd annual Yukon Quest International Sled Dog Race. Mushers continue lining out their dogs for the start of the race in downtown Whitehorse this morning, and many teams have started down the 1,000-mile trail to Fairbanks. Alan Moore of Two Rivers left the start line an hour ago to head for Fairbanks wearing bib number one. During the start banquet Thursday night, Moore joked about pulling that number.
My eyesight is not that good, but it says number one.
All right, Emily, we can hear the dogs in the background. That must mean we have you on the line from downtown Whitehorse at the start of the Yukon Quest.
Hey, Lori. Yeah, you're listening to the Siberian Huskies that are run by Mike Ellis, barking up a storm. And there's another dog team right behind him. Sadly, I cannot yet see that musher, so I can't tell you whose team that is. But we're getting towards the end of the start here. Mike Burns did number 22, and there's 26 mushers in this year's race.
Great. Last hour when we were talking with you, we did lose you because of either a dropped call or your phone got too cold because... just like here in Fairbanks, it's cold.
Yeah, I'm freezing. I have four pairs of hand warmers in my pockets and mittens. I've got snow warmers and pretty much all the warm clothes I brought to Canada with me. So it's pretty cold here. It's about 31 degrees below zero, which it's pretty normal for this time of year, but as you know, we've had a pretty temperate winter so far, and it's the case in Whitehorse as well. So even all the mushers are worried about whether they have enough hand warmers in the sled bags or not.
Right, because that is a worry, you know, to stay warm on a trail when you're outside almost all the time for the 9, 10, 11 days, however long it takes to get that 1,000 miles down the trail.
Yeah, it's also a concern for the dogs. Yor Olsen this morning, the Norwegian musher, told me that he is glad that he had some special coats made specifically for his dogs when they were shipped from Norway. So they left the front line about a half hour ago wearing bright blue coats that are lined with wool.
So the sled dogs were wearing wool coats.
Yes, the dogs, yep.
Straight from Norway. That's impressive.
Straight from Norway, yep, yep. His sled came from Norway as well, so.
Wow. How do the dogs get all the way over here? Obviously, they have to fly them all over.
Yeah, well, so Thorsten Konert is a Swedish musher, and he does have, I think, six dogs on his team that are from Sweden. He flew them over from Sweden to run in the race. So he says they're the most traveled dogs in the race this year.
How true. Hey, we heard about some of the challenges that are on this year's Yukon Quest with your coverage during NPR's Weekend Edition this morning. It was great to hear that story on Weekend Edition going out to all the member stations also. What are some of the challenges that have cropped up this year? If you can just explain a couple of those, Emily.
Sure. A couple weeks ago, before this cold snap, we thought that maybe they might move the start line from here up to Braeburn, about 100 miles from here, because the river, both the Yukon River and the Kenny River, weren't completely frozen up. But luckily, the temperature dropped, and the ice is pretty solid on both of those rivers now. So it looks to be like a pretty good race in terms of trail conditions this year. There is some thin snow in spots, but overall, I did talk to the Canadian Ranger yesterday. The Canadian Rangers break the trail on the side of the race, and he said it's in pretty good shape.
So this cold weather has actually been very good for the rivers and the trail, but maybe not as good for the living things that are heading down the trail.
It's really bad for my fingers.
Yes, lots of hand warmers in your pockets, on all of your equipment to keep it warm. And batteries start losing their charge in the cold too, don't they?
Yes, and this year I brought so many extra batteries. My bag weighs a lot, and that's because it's packed filled with hand warmers and batteries. So I think, I hope I have enough battery power to tell all the stories that can be told on this year's race.
So who's leaving right now?
Who is it? I had to step away from the line. Really quick. I can't tell. They're taking off so quickly. I just step away. So this huge crowd. There's like 300 people here and speakers everywhere. I'm sure you guys can.
Yes. It sounds very exciting down there. You said there's about 300 people at the start there in Whitehorse. That's impressive.
Yeah, it is. And everybody's donning their sealskin hats and their mittens and their parkas. Yeah, quite a big crowd and there's lots of cheering going on.
And one last thing I wanted to ask you about, Emily, was so all these mushers leave from the start gate 3 minutes apart. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yep.
And so how does that all get worked out so Alan Moore left first? How does that get worked out so he doesn't get a big old jump start on the race?
Right. So the mushers this year, there was a bit of a rule change. So the mushers can choose where they take a 6-hour mandatory layover between here and Kelly Crossing. And when they take that 6-hour layover, the time adjustment will be added to the layover so that everybody's time is adjusted for those set 3 minutes by times 3 minutes gap.
Okay, so at the layover, they adjust the time and let them go accordingly. Got it.
Right. So by the time, we were told yesterday by the race marshal that by the time they get to Carmack in a day and a half, we should know who is running in first place.
So by the time they get to Carmack, it'll all be settled out from the different staggered start times.
Exactly. I'll stake out the Carmack.
Well, Emily.
Not all.
Yes, sir?
I said not the whole race will take out my car,
right.
But at least the time.
That's right. Part of the deal is getting to Dawson for the gold, too.
Yeah. There is a race for gold, although the most experienced mushers will tell you that there's a bit of a jinx there. If you win the gold in Dawson, you may not win the race.
Oh.
There are a lot of...
It is so great to hear the dogs so excited to head down that 1,000-mile trail. We can hear them just barking and howling in the background.
Yes, they are very excited. There's just a lot of energy. You know, these dogs have been sitting in Whitehorse for about 4 days, just resting. So 4 days not running could make anybody a little bit... A little bit excited and energetic.
All right, it sounds like Jason just left.
Yeah, Jason Campo just left. He's wearing bib number 24. He's from British Columbia. He's actually the COO of MapleSoft, a Canadian company. And he is running dogs that former muster Jake Berkowitz. Jake is now gone into retirement. But, you know, his dog team is still running on the trail.
That's very cool. Well, Emily, we wish you luck and we look forward to lots more stories from the Yukon Quest Trail. And we appreciate you staying out there so long on the start line in the bitter cold to bring us a taste of what it's like.
No problem. I'm excited to tell all these great stories and keep listening. Thanks a lot, Lori.
All right. Have a good one, Emily. Have a great race.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Okay. And thanks to Emily Schwing on the Yukon Quest Trail. She's the KUAC Yukon Quest reporter in Whitehorse. And here in the KUAC studios, I'm Lori Neufeld. We head back to the What Do You Know Radio Hour in progress shortly. Thanks for listening to live coverage of the 2015 Yukon Quest right here on KUAC. Photos, tales from the trail, and more at our website, kuac.org. KUAC coverage of the 2015 Yukon Quest is made possible by radiology consultants, Golden Heart Emergency Physicians, Kinross Fort Knox, Samard Automotive, North Pole Veterinary Hospital, Dr. Daniel Johnson, Metropolitan Garage, Sourdough Fuel, and Water Wagon, proud sponsors of KUAC.